Okay, well, let's turn and open our Bibles, please, to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 3 is where we're going to get to here in a few moments. I wanted to consider some things this morning about the right to speak God's word. In the Old Testament times, there were relatively few who were given the awesome privilege or right to speak God's word. And many who did were not received as men of God. Rather, they were derided. And they were persecuted. For example, Jeremiah was put in prison for treason, for speaking God's word. Many examples of this in the word. And yet, God in his grace and mercy always endeavored to give man the opportunity to know his word, to believe his word, to accept the deliverance that he was making available. There are times in God's word where God said, they won't listen. But yet, because he's a just God, he gave them the opportunity. Isn't that something? Even when he knew they wouldn't listen. Really something. But when and where that word was believed, it brought deliverance. Those men who had the responsibility and the right to speak God's word didn't always get great results. The success wasn't in the result. The success was in the speaking of it. It was in the speaking of God's word. There's a record here, and we're going to look at a couple here in the Old Testament. But in Ezekiel chapter 3, we're going to begin down in verse 17. And in this record, Ezekiel is referred to by God as a watchman. And in verse 17, it says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." See? So these would be the words of God, words at my mouth. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn that wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at what? At thine hand." Pretty deep. "Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast what? Delivered. You've delivered thy soul." See? You spoke. "Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at what? At thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is what? He is warned." See? "Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. See. Ezekiel, in speaking God's word, was responsible to speak what God wanted spoken. He was responsible to speak the truth. He wasn't responsible for the results. His success was in speaking God's word. There's another record I want to look at, and then we're going to go to the Gospel of John, but it's in Isaiah chapter 6, right before Jeremiah. And Isaiah was another man who was given the responsibility and the privilege to speak for God. This is pretty neat. In verse 5, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, what? Send me. See, here am I, send me. Isaiah realized that he was not worthy to speak God's word. And he had this vision of this seraphim putting a hot coal on his lips, making his lips clean. Now, it wasn't a literal hot coal. But what it was is that it was God making him holy, so that he could speak the words of a holy God. So that he could say, when God said, Who will I send? Isaiah could say, Send me. Isn't that something? Because God had made him worthy. It wasn't anything that Isaiah did. God had done it. I want you to turn to John chapter 17. Whenever the word of God was believed, it brought deliverance. John chapter 17. And I think most of you are familiar with this record. It's really wonderful. This is a prayer of Jesus Christ that was recorded shortly before he would give his life as a sacrifice for us at the command of his Father. And this is part of that time, those last moments that he had with his men, the men that had been with him throughout his ministry, the men that he had trained. And we have this incredible prayer that's recorded here. But I want to look at a few verses in here. And we're going to look at verse 6 of 17. It says, I have manifested or revealed thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. You gave them to me. And they have kept thy word. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. Okay. He manifested God's name, but what he gave them was what? God's word. See, of all the things that he could have given them, what he gave them was God's word. Look down at verse 14. We're going to see what makes this word, or at least part of what makes this word so, so valuable. Down in verse 16, again, part of his prayer. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, separate them out. Sanctify them through thy what? Truth. Thy word is what? Truth. As thou didst send me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. See? Jesus Christ knew the state of the world since Adam's fall. And that these men were being left in a world whose systems would be arrayed against them. Because they had chosen the true God. And they believed on His Son, Jesus Christ. And that which would sanctify them or separate them out would be what? It'd be the truth. It'd be God's Word. That which would keep them from the evil one would be what? Would be God's Word. See? Isn't that something? Now, it wasn't that he was just leaving them in the world, just leaving them. He was sending them into the world. To do what?
Speak
God's word. Isn't that something? It would be God's word that would sanctify them and protect them from the systems of the evil one. From the systems of this world, of this age. And it would be God's word that would be their offense. That they would hold forth. See, so that others could be delivered. Isn't that something? Jesus Christ didn't leave them with swords. He didn't leave them with bombs or bullets or instructions on how to build a hideaway in the middle of the Negev desert. He left them with words. That's it. And on the surface, you know, that would look to leave these men rather defenseless in this world, in this age. But see, Jesus Christ knew whose word it was. Who backs that word up? God backs that word up. See, he knew the power of these words. These words would protect these men. These words would bring deliverance. See, these words would heal. Isn't that something? He knew, and that's what he gave them. That's what he left them. See, it was God's word. It's really something. You know, an example of words. We're going to come back here in a minute. Turn to Psalm. Turn to Psalm 1. Just an example. Just a simple example. One of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in God's Word. Look at verse 1. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, of the scoffers, people who mock God's word. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall what? Shall prosper. Shall prosper. He won't even see when the heat's coming. He prospers. How? How? By believing words.
Believing words.
Believing God's words.
Yeah.
Because who backs God's words up?
God.
See, it's his word. These are the words of God. Isn't that something? It's really something. And, you know, relatively speaking, there are relatively few who have had the privilege to speak God's word. Really something. But those are words. And that's what Jesus Christ left them with, were words. That's what would protect them. That's what they would hold forth. Really something. Boy, and they did move the word, didn't they? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're not merely, you know, defenseless people waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. We are armed with God's word. Isn't that something? It's God's word that sets us apart. It's God's word that we stand on. We're not defenseless. Not at all. God protects us because that's his word. See? And even though the systems and the thinking of the world may be arrayed against us, we are blessed. And we can be blessed. Because of what? Because I'm so wonderful. Because you're so wonderful. No, because of God's words. See? Because of God's words. Isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful? And since the day of Pentecost, pretty revolutionary thing happened. God equipped all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with spirit. We have God's spirit and we have God's word to stand on. We have God's word to believe. We have God's word to rejoice in. We have God's word to go to. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All of us have been given the awesome privilege to speak God's word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look at let's look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, and it should read, the new is come. And all things, all new things, all of these new things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the what? The word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you, or we prayerfully request in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Paul and company, because they believed God's word, they were standing on God's word, were ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us have the right to speak God's word, the awesome privilege to speak God's word. Isn't that something? As rare as it's been in history. But since the day of Pentecost, boy, what Jesus Christ accomplished for mankind kind of blew the lid off the whole thing. See? So, you and I can, with God's words, we can bring light where there's darkness. With words. With God's words, we can bring sanity where there's confusion. With God's words, we can bring surety where there's fear. See? We can bring eternal life to those who are in bondage, to their fear of death. We can bring eternal life. Isn't that something? And it's words. But they're not just words. Whose words are they? They're God's words. See? And they're true. When I speak God's words, I'm speaking truth. I'm speaking words that can deliver. Words that can heal. Words that can change a life. That's what we do when we speak God's word. You heard God's word at some point. And you believed it. Did it change your life? Sure. At those moments when you don't know what to do, where to turn, you go to God's word. You get blessed. Have you seen words come to pass before from God's word? Absolutely. Because see, he backs it up. And when we speak God's word, that's what we make available to other people. Isn't that incredible? It's a right. And it's a privilege to speak God's word. It's not a job. It's a privilege. It's a right. Now, whether or not people believe it, is that my responsibility? It is not my responsibility. Absolutely not. But I'm going to speak it. See? I want to speak it. And make it available. Because we don't know what God can do. We don't know what God can do for our heart. You know that verse in, where is it, Isaiah 55? My word doesn't return unto me void. You know, as the rain waters the earth. And, you know, you don't see where it goes. You just see it raining. And it does all these incredible things. So that plants have food and rivers have water and fish have water. And that's something. Just from the rain. That's kind of like speaking God's word. Same thing. It goes forth. And it accomplishes that which God sets it to do. We don't worry about it. See? It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. A lot to be thankful for. But that's what our lives are. That's what our lives are. You know, part of the systems of that world that are arrayed against us. Make the words of God's word seem kind of foolish or kind of weak. Make the speaking of it seem kind of odd. But are the systems of the world the fountain of truth? No. The fountain of anything is the fountain of lies. It's God's word. That's the truth. See? Isn't that something? You know, was it Peter? Peter, James, and John? I can't remember the record now. Anyway, they were in prison, and the angel let them out. That was Peter. And the angel lets him out and says, go to the temple and what? Speak the words of this life. Speak the words of this life. You know, he didn't say, show them how cool God is, and he got you out of prison. Just do a little dance in front of everybody. No, it was to what? Speak the words of this life. See, you and I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We can operate that ministry of reconciliation by speaking God's word. You know, it's interesting when that eunuch didn't understand that passage of scripture regarding the Redeemer in Isaiah. It would have been very easy for God just to send an angel to explain it to him. But he didn't. Who did he send? He sent Philip. See? He sent Philip. It's even interesting when Paul was on the road to Damascus and Jesus Christ appeared to him. It was Ananias who baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, something in it. See. We are the ones that God's entrusted to make his word known. See. Remember we read in John, and all those that believe on me because of their word. See. We're sent into the world. And we're not afraid because we've got God's word. And we've got something to give because we've what? We've got God's word. So the answer is what? It's God's word. That's right. That's the answer. If I need help with God's word, if you need help with God's word, because it's whose word? It's God's word. See. It's really something. It's a privilege. It's an absolute privilege to be able to speak God's word. So, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.